Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Welcome in, everybody, and happy Friday on Transformation Talk Radio. We know you always have a choice in how you can spend your afternoon, and we want to thank you for choosing to spend it with us. I'm your host, Diane McClay, and I'm super excited today because as we're coming into fall, as we're the trees are turning, you know, animals are saving up energy, it's also a time for us to turn inwards and look into ourselves and figure out how we can reconnect to that inner voice. I've got two of my favorite people in the world, my friend Trish Campbell, who is the author of Love Me and soon to come Love Me Meditations and Love Me Poetry, and my other author friend Robert T. Norton, who is the author of Full Moon Poems, Whispered by Nature, which is phenomenal if anybody wants to look it up. Also the author of Meditations for Photography. And so the reason why I brought these two folks on is because we have a really great conversation when we just put our minds together about the human condition, deepening our connection to ourselves. And that's what today is about. We're going to help you figure out how to connect to and listen to that inner voice. So first of all, welcome in, Trish. Welcome in, Robert. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us. Excited to chat with you today.
Stoked. Well,
yeah, it's, you know, the energy is great. We got the fedora, we got the what if, you know, we've got the suit jacket on today. So it's a great blend. Trish, it's been a while since we've run a conversation on The Shift, and I want to defer to what we used to do on The Shift, which is giving an acknowledgement to the people who came before us. Do you want to say something about the First Nations in your part of the world?
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge the people that came before us, the Indigenous peoples of the treaty lands and territories of the Mississauga of the Credit First Nation, the Haudenosaunee, the Huron-Wendat, the Ojibwe Chippewa, and thanking them for their stewardship and connection with Mother Earth and providing us this opportunity to come here today with their wisdoms that they've shared over millennia, have tried to share over millennia, and remembering that this land that we operate from on our daily on a daily basis is stolen land from them. So always mindful of that and grateful for all that we have to flourish from that.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And Robert, I can't remember if you're in Mississauga or not, but do you have any influences in your life that you would like to honor or pay tribute to, whether they're Indigenous or not?
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I'm in the same area as Trish, so it's in terms of Indigenous, it would be similar, but I'll take that a step further and just say, you know, full respect and gratitude for everybody that's come before us and paved the way and got us, you know, to a degree to where we are today.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, parents, friends, church groups, you know, society. And we're going to actually tie into that. But before we do, I'm back in my my homeland of the Pacific Northwest. So I am located between Oregon and Washington on the Columbia River. And the tribes that came before me include the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs, Denver tribes, but Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs, Nez Perce, Umatilla, the Chinook people, which includes the upper and lower Chinook people. And in particular, my area, there's a lot of bands of people that are not named, and there are a lot of tribes of people that are not federally recognized. And it's important for me to make sure that even though we don't know those people's names or we don't know those bands of people, that we honor the energy and we honor the stewardship of the land. So I do my business and my home resides on land that was occupied by those people long before me. So we just want to pay tribute to the spirit of the nation and of those people. So with that, that always feels good to do. And it feels weird when we don't take time to do it. So thank you guys for honoring me on that. And
thank you for incorporating that too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into it. I titled today's show, Who Are You? And that stemmed from, I've been doing some purging and some packing lately, and I came across an old notebook, and I found some poetry that I wrote in like 1988. 1989, like when I was in college and when I was shifting out of high school and shifting away from my home. And there was a poem or a thought to myself that I wrote that was like, who are you? And the questions that I was writing 30 years ago really pertain to our conversation today. I was trying to validate myself to other people. I was trying to prove myself in a new world. I was trying to figure out who I was. And I find it interesting that as I'm going through stuff and I'm looking at historically at something I wasn't even in the forefront of my mind, the question of who am I and how do I prove my worth and how do I prove myself existed back then, and it has actually followed me into my adult life. So I was wondering if you guys could touch on that a little bit. I know you've got the Love Me Meditations coming out. So yes. I wanted to really just open the conversation up to, yeah, Trish has got the book right there. Love Me Meditations is coming out. I just want to open it up to what does it mean to have a deeper connection to ourselves and the mm-hmm. human condition, and what has contributed to you guys being successful in the last year or in the last life to be intimate with yourself?
I'll take the lead on this one, and then Rob can share his thoughts on it. But first, I want to say you mentioned like 1988 or 89, and you were having this. And I mean, I love that you were that age and having this awareness. And also, I just want to remind you that that was probably around the time that we met that you don't remember. So that I do vividly. So give me a little dig there, but in a fun way.
You're influencing me even back then, Trish.
I know. Yeah. And now we're having our full circle moment these last couple years. So I think remembering who we are for me, and that started when I wrote, I gradually felt this kind of like calling to, you know, that question in coming from within inside of me, but it really was a pivotal moment when I had the end of a relationship and I recognized that there was a pattern that I had been operating in my life. It wasn't just relationships. I recognized it in work relationships, in family relationships. And I was like, who am I anymore? Like, why am I showing up this way in relationships? Why am I constantly feeling like I have to shave off pieces of who I am in order to fit in? And then I've like subconsciously become this person that's not really who I am. And so, you know, it's really that introspection and journey into self-inquiry to say, okay, how did this happen? And kind of connecting the dots back into my childhood and realizing that, you know, I think we're conditioned to fit in a system. We're not conditioned to stay connected to our soul. We come in connected, we come in knowing why we're here and our divinity and our unique light, that we're all one. All of that, but this, the programming, the conditioning, the society, socialization that we're a part of pulls us away from that. So I don't think I'm unique. I think we all kind of probably at some point feel some sort of way about this, but this was just my specific journey. And I wanted to share that because again, I know I'm not alone. So I think that answered your question.
Yeah. So I'll flip it to Robert. You know, you're still in the working world and you're an author and a poet, and you have this really unique perspective on life that allows you to both function in a systematic work world, but also express this level of individual creativity. So can you speak a little bit about kind of your journey and kind of what you've discovered about connecting to your soul or allowing meditations to influence you?
Sure, absolutely. And it's much as you say, it is a journey. And the moment we focus on the journey as opposed to the destination, that brings something into our lives. Now, like you, I remember, I mean, you used some very interesting words about that poem back in 1988, you know, validation. And when we're at that age, that on the cusp of leaving childhood and moving into adulthood and all the responsibilities that entails, we're very much in a period of our lives where we do have to prove and validate ourselves to our parents, that we can go out and get our first apartment with a friend that they don't like, that we have to validate our performance to a boss who's taken a chance on us. We don't have the experience, but they see some potential perhaps, with coworkers, with colleagues, with significant others. So that path to validation never ends, in a sense, until we recognize it and see it for what it is. And then that ties in with what Trish has said of the societal programming and the conditioning. And we learned very early in the educational system, probably back in grade school, if you're non-conforming and you're asking too many questions and you're deviating from the norm, you're a bad employee and you're called out on it and you're put back into line quickly. So you learn to survive in that way and you learn to pick your battles. But now at this stage, so many years later, back then, I mean, I don't think we didn't have the benefit of the internet. We didn't think, at least in my generation, you weren't taught to, you know, and particularly as a male, you weren't taught to look past these things. And, you know, being naturally rebellious and nonconformist, I've been struggling or battling with that almost my entire life. So what it seems like to me now at this point is it's been a very long climb to the summit, but now it's the time for me to enjoy the view. So there hasn't been really any validation seeking for me for probably over a decade. My career is set. Things are in motion. I can look back now on a body of work and be satisfied and not need validation from anybody. I did me, Robert T. Norton, better than anybody possibly could. So isn't that the point? To connect with ourselves and to be our best selves in whatever capacity we choose. So this is really a period of life. They always said that to us in our 20s. Well, when you get to that age, you'll get to really enjoy your golden years, as they call them. So it really is how you make it and what you will choose to do with it. So if you're going to embrace a curious spirit, and if you're going to be a lifelong learner and commit to that journey, then you're going to have a beautiful life. And this period during the pandemic with the isolation just proved it. Because I'm sure many of us watched friends and family members and the struggles that they went through and the difficulties they faced during the lockdown periods. And other people just thrived and flourished in those periods. So that's a clue. It's really up to us and our decision of how we want to live this gift of life that we've been given.
Yeah, and I think you said it well. I mean, I think you phrased it really well, where we have these stages where we have validation, right? Because we're expected to prove ourselves because we don't have experience. I think a lot of the Transformation Talk Radio audience are past that. I mean, we probably have some younger listeners, but I think the majority of the listeners are kind of in that 45 to 65 age point, where that concept of having to do that initial proving of self has probably passed. But I think something that tends to hold people back is still that internal dialogue about having to still prove that, like, I have to do one more rung on the ladder, or I have to show up a certain way as a mom, or I have to show up a certain way as a dad, or a friend or coworker. And so maybe you guys can speak a little bit about how you collaborated on the Love Me meditations and really why creating a daily practice with these meditations helps temper that that judging voice or that negative voice that sometimes can show up even in the older part of life.
Yeah, I think it all starts with, well, it started with when I wrote the book Love Me, the first book. Really, overall arcing theme was about not seeking external validation and finding self-love and wholeness of being and through that process. So you're right, that inner dialogue, like whether or not we're looking externally, we still subconsciously are. We need to prove to ourselves our worth. And, you know, we don't often share that, but I think the process of building that connection inside, and you know why we then, it was Rob's idea to take some of the insights from Love Me and say, hey, these would be good meditation prompts, and maybe he can share his thought process on that too, but to create that daily practice, because you know, and you and I have talked about too, we've talked about a lot of when we were doing the shift and just in our dialogue, that we, you know, we're in uncertain times, and the uncertainty keeps layering in. It just seems to keep, you know, more and more stuff keeps piling on us, and we're carrying around so much energetically. And when we build that internal connection with our soul and we're guided from that, rather than externally, we're a lot more stable in our lives. We're a lot more able to make choices and to pause and not just react to everything in life, but rather be empowered in making choices and responding. And it, you know, that improves our relationships with one another as well. So having this as a daily practice, it gives you that, it starts to, without you even realizing it, give you that foundation, start to build that inner strength, and also get to know your soul's voice and to hear that and to let that voice rise above all the external noise. I think that's what I think, you know, is the benefit of, and the reason why we, you know, are so called to share this as a daily practice.
I'm going to flip it to Robin a minute, but I want to comment on something. I've had the privilege of being able to read your original draft, and, mm-hmm. and it's been something that has been in my backpack ever since I got it a couple of months ago. And I'm not somebody, you know, if somebody were to come to me and say, and offer me daily meditations, I would be resistant. I don't, it sounds like work. I don't understand it. It's not really how I typically function. Right. I'm kind of a moving meditation person. I'm thinking when I'm on a hike, I'm processing internally when I'm out in nature doing something. So what I appreciate about this collaboration that you guys did is you actually took that fear away. There was a fear of looking inward and really seeing something that maybe you might not want to see, mm-hmm. or putting a name to something that, you know, exists in the background. But you don't really want it to come into the foreground because then you have to deal with it. And what I discovered is that, first of all, both of you write so beautifully. Second of all, you describe situations that if you had said to me, what do you need to meditate on? Mm-hmm. I would look at you like, I don't know. But the way both of you took real life situations, real internal dialogues from yourselves and probably people you know in your world, and then put it to literally simplified it to language and a story that I could connect to. It's been something that has actually served as a very, very enlightening tool for me. Mm. So I just want to say that. I want to flip it to Robert, and maybe one of the two of you have one that, you know, a short meditation that, or the intro to a meditation that you'd like to share, so we can give our listeners a sense of what we're talking about.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm glad you like the book, Diane, and it's fantastic. I mean, I'm a bad meditator as well. I mean, I've studied with Buddhist monks off and on for 14 years, but I'm certainly not a daily practitioner. I'm just not disciplined in that kind of way. However, I do see massive value in it as kind of a safe harbor. So when you're out there on, you know, what the Buddhists call the oceans of samsara, which is the roughness of life, and we're out there and we're taking a bit of a battering and it's heavy seas, having this connection to your soul light or to the Dharma or the capacity to pick up that book and meditate, it really has a grounding effect, and it can just center you in that moment. And it brings you back to a place where you remember, okay, everything out there, 99.9% of it is just noise. Okay. Like Shanti Deva said, you know, 11th century, if you can change a situation, why worry? If you can't change a situation, why worry? So that leads us into looking at things closer. And these meditations, that's what they're meant. They're meant to be provocative, to get you thinking. It's not a book you read page by page by page, which is traditionally how we do it. No, you're meant to pick up the book and either do it sequentially or just randomly pick a page if that's your thing, and look at one and then close the book. Think deeply about that one thing, because we rarely do this in life. We lead our modern lives are lives of distraction. And there are so many things tugging at our attention to prevent us or to take us away from a dialogue with ourselves. Often we are the last dialogue we have. Often we resist it. We don't know ourselves. We don't want to know ourselves. So maybe that's a starting point. You know, a book like this could be a starting point. You could do it before bed or in the morning. You just look at it, or you know, that kind of thing.
I want to comment real quick before you jump in, Trish. That's exactly the way I read your book. Mm-hmm. I picked it up randomly and I read your words and I read the influence that was in there.
Yeah.
And then what immediately happened is I'm a giver and I'm a caregiver and I thrive when I'm able to take care of other people, which I think a lot of our audience members would agree that they also share that trait.
Mm-hmm.
And my first instinct was I have to put this book in the hands of 10 people. Like that one meditation, I thought of my friend. That other meditation, I thought of my mom. That other meditation, I thought of my dad or my sister. That other meditation, I thought of my buddy who's going through a divorce, right? So what was interesting is for me, as I read it, not only did I get excited that I wanted to literally put this gift in the hands of other people who I think have been struggling or going through the journey of understanding themselves better so that they can show up better for their relationships in their world. But I noticed that was like, it was a deferral, right? Oh, if I put this in the hands of somebody else, I'm doing my job in the world, but I'm still not really paying attention to me.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the reason why I have it. And I've challenged myself with your book to not just, so as soon as I think of someone else, the next question I ask myself is, how am I connected to that person through the struggle that I see them having? Like, it's a way that I've been able to start naming and owning things that are underneath the surface, but it feels very safe for me to do it.
Right. That I love that. And it's that, that's the thing we, and to Robert's point too, you guys have both said it, that it's like hard to look at ourselves. It's hard to sit with ourselves. We're constantly, just because it's so comfortable to be focusing externally, because that's what we know and that's what we've been taught and learned. So I feel like this is a chance to unlearn again, unlearn, like that's a big theme in the book, Love Me. And it's about relearning how to sit with ourselves and just be okay with just being. And I think, you know, this where Love Me, I'll hold up the original book, is a heavy read. It's got a lot of insights. There's poetry, takes a long time. And this kind of the meditations version has extracted those insights and thoughts and ideas and contemplations and put them in a format where you can just like pick it up and you can give yourself 10 or 15 minutes in the morning or in the evening or in the middle of the day even is like perfect as well. In the middle of your workday to kind of come back and check in with ourselves. And I like to use it as an oracle, like just kind of, I always ask for messages. I work with the universal energy and say, what do I need to know today? So kind of flipping open to a page and wherever it lands, that must be the message I need to hear right now. And a lot of times it resonates with what's going on in my life. So I feel like that's what keeps me coming back to this as a practice. And it's not perfect either. It's not every single day. And because other days I'm doing other things like moving meditation and like walking in nature and all the things. But you asked if we would share something. And it's funny because as I was flipping through this, initially when you were talking about when you were 18 and you found some poetry or found poetry from when you were 18 and, you know, you kind of like were in that awareness at that time and then life kind of pulls you out and we all kind of go through that in and out. And I was thinking of how I talk about, you know, life is this ongoing dance of coming towards and moving away from ourselves. And I wrote that in Love Me, but this is where the theme of this prompt came from. And I happened to open up to that page automatically. I didn't, you know, I just kind of flipped and it opened to this dance of life prompt. So do you want me to read that?
Of course.
That?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. If you feel so inspired. I mean, I believe in randomness and if you just flipped to a page while we were talking and this spoke to you, then I feel like that's the message that we're supposed to be delivering to our listeners today. So absolutely.
Yeah. And I feel like that. And that's just like proof our thoughts are you know, is the vibration we're holding and it's going to, you know, come back to us. So it's called The Dance of Life. And so just like, you know, this book is meant to read and then kind of sit and reflect. It's not like read and then shut the book and like walk away. So it's kind of like to prompt that inner dialogue or that inner stillness to see what comes up within you. So The Dance of Life. Life is truly an ongoing dance of moving towards and away from ourselves and from each other. All of the experiences we have throughout our lives, all of our dances, are part of who we are in any given moment. They have shaped who we are and how we show up. The dance is our soul's ongoing expression. So love it's it. Brief, it's short, but it's, it, you know, it's, it, it, it gives you something to contemplate.
Yeah. And to our listeners who right now, maybe you're driving home from work, maybe you're catching the last, you know, half hour of the show. Maybe you're rushing to the next thing, like the basketball game or the soccer game or the swim lesson. When was the question to you is, when was the last time you took 5 minutes for yourself? Right? When was the last time you literally just sat quietly with yourself for 3 minutes? We're going to come back after a break, but I want to share with you something. So when I was going through my poetry, somewhere I wrote on a piece of paper, if you listen closely to your thoughts, the truth will be revealed to you.
Mm.
Right? So that was back before anybody told me that I needed to start listening to everybody else. Like right. My soul told me that if I listen to my innermost thoughts, I will see and feel the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So my challenge for listeners today is, after this podcast is over, take 5 minutes for yourself. And we're going to bring in another meditation after the break to challenge people and to get them thinking. Robert, do you have something you want to add before we take a break? You've been a little quiet over there.
I'll just say really quickly, to build on what you said, ask yourself the question as a follow-up, why are you the last to-do item on your own list? You know?
Yeah. It's a good
start point. To look at that. And there's an exercise called the five layers of why. So when you're trying to answer one of these questions, keep asking why till you've asked why five times. Start to really peel the layers off the onions and dig deeper, because that first answer, not always the right one. There's more to the story. Dig for it.
And then I've done that exercise before, and I would also add that usually around the third or fourth layer of why is when it starts to get a little more difficult. And that's when we as human beings have a tendency to go into resistance, and we'll say, I'll come back and I'll do that later.
Yeah.
But then start the next question of why. Why is this question difficult? You know,
why am I resisting?
Right?
What's that about?
And I want to bring us into a brain trick on how to change the question of why, so we really move ourselves forward and we don't actually get ourselves stuck. So we're going to take a break. This is the Diane McClay Show on Transformation Talk Radio and the Cornelia Stephanie Media Network. And we're going to come right back because we're talking about loving yourself, connecting to your inner voice, and meditations that can help you get there. Stay tuned.
I'm Mark Fechner, and at the Business Mind Show, we focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I help you find the answers within you. Sometimes all that is needed is just a slight change in perception. To find out more about my coaching, go to markfechner.com. The Business Mind Show airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month on transformationtalkradio.com.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the 9 freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology It is new to this country and it's just amazing. It's out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Welcome back in, everybody. You're listening to the Diane McClay Show on Transformation Talk Radio, and we're so thankful that you made the decision and the choice to spend this afternoon with us. Lots of great podcasters, lots of great information out here. And before the break, we were talking, my guests today are Robert T. Norton and my friend Trish Campbell. Both are authors of individual books that they've done on their own. Trish Campbell with Love Me, Robert Norton with Full Moon Poems Whispered by a Muse, which is a beautiful poetry book, by the way. And they have collaborated on a book called Love Me, and there's meditations, simple meditations for the soul to reconnect to the real truth that we all hold inside of us. So before the break, we were talking about making sure that we kind of challenge ourselves and ask why things are different. And I really want to make sure that we clarify that the brain is designed to solve problems, right? So if you say, why is this happening? The brain is going to try to come up with answers to solve that problem. But there's a danger in asking why and allowing the negative self-talk to dominate the conversation. Why didn't I get my stuff done on time? Well, I'm lazy. I'm a procrastinator. I've never been able to complete things on time. As we have to be attentive and deliberate with what the language is that we're using when we speak to other people, and especially when we speak to ourselves. I have a friend who says that we have one mouth and two ears. I think that's David George Brooks who said that. And so when we speak one thing out of our mouth and two ears, bring it back into our mind and our soul and our body, we have to be very attentive to what we're telling ourselves, right? So one trick that a friend of mine, PJ Dixon, has mentioned is that rather than always saying, why did this happen, which we may or may not have the answer right away, we might just ask ourselves, how am I feeling? Do I like the way I'm feeling? And if I don't, how would I rather feel? Because the brain can actually say, I'd rather feel this way and I'd rather not feel this way. So we have two, one of the things I like about Trish and Robert is we come from different perspectives and different backgrounds. And I want to invite them back into this conversation because during the break, we were talking about how we all had three different perspectives on challenging ourselves with the wording we use. So Trish, you want to jump in, or Robert, you want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead, Trish.
Well, I mean, my chiming in was more of in response to a lot of times, like, so we ask the question why, and then we're in this thought kind of spiral. So we keep going, like we're literally keep asking why, and we try to figure it out in the mind. So I think, you know, from my perspective, this meditation process and this connection with the soul happens at the soul level. It happens in the body, letting go of the thoughts that are in our mind and coming back to just being and in the quiet space and the quiet and to hear the quiet voice inside of us. So, I just feel like there is a time and place for asking ourselves those questions that we ask. That's why the prompts for the meditation kind of imply the question, so to speak. And then, we kind of sit in stillness, or at least that's how I envision it, sit in stillness for that to kind of bubble up within us. Because a lot of times, yeah, that's why there's the five layers of why, because there's all this stuff, all this fluff on top of it, like that we have to get through to get to the root answer. And so that's part of the process of using meditation as a tool. I mean, I use it as a tool for healing, for unlearning, for remembering who I am. So that's part of that process of getting through all of the external noise and letting that rise up within. And sometimes, you know, that in and of itself can be uncomfortable because we might not like what we hear or see, or what is revealed, the truth, as you said before. So, but we can then move through that, however that makes us feel, to get to and understand ourselves better through those feelings that we may not want to be in. So I feel like that is such a gold mine, to be in that, even if it's uncomfortable.
everybody wants a quick list, right? So yeah. For our listeners who are driving, if their mind is going like crazy, the monkey mind is firing, you're a coach, you're a Reiki master, you help people connect to the soul and self-healing. Three quick, easy steps from your experience as a coach that can help people recognize the monkey mind is happening and shift out of the mind and shift into the heart.
I would say three steps. First, pause. We've talked about that a lot, is to just, we're so conditioned to think we have to keep moving, keep going. Okay, then I got this done. Now, oh, what's next? And like the, you know, our minds are going a million miles an hour and we're just trying to keep up and it's exhausting. So I would say pause and breathe and just be quiet. Like just those are, that seems so simple and so, I don't know, just like oversimplified, but I think we've been conditioned also to think that everything, something that's going to help us has to be complicated. We have to jump through all these hoops, and it's really just allowing ourselves to just be. So
I want to reiterate that if you're busy, your mind's going a million miles an hour, pause, breathe, be.
Yeah.
Drop in.
Yeah.
So Robert, I want to bring you in on this. You had a conversation, you had an interesting observation about something you didn't understand with people getting wrapped up in the negative language.
Yeah, definitely. That goes back to my upbringing and just what I've collected and the decisions I've made. And, you know, I'm not saying right or wrong in any capacity, but it's worked for me and got me this far in life. So I'll keep building on that and keep improving on it. But I've never understood, and I've witnessed this so often, it always gives me sadness when you see people speak in a very self-deprecating way, or I could never do that, or I shouldn't do that, or how could you? And it's speaking to a lack of courage and, you know, many, many, many things. So you just say, well, wow, you know, your life is so short. When are you going to have the courage? And it speaks to other things like capacity. But one thing I would say to the listeners is, and it builds on what Trish said, we're all works in progress. Okay, so if we release ourselves from the idea of perfection, which she spoke about at length in her book, Love Me, why, and what she just said about always being in a rush. You want a fantastic life hack? Here's hack number three. Schedule some time for yourself. There's this fantastic word in the English language. It's called no. No. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to take on that responsibility, that task, that chore. No, I'm not doing that. Today, I will write. I will photograph. I will nap. I will meditate. I will think. I will meet a friend for coffee. My responsibilities today for this block of time are for me. Now, I know my friend Trish, she usually paints every Saturday night. That's her block of time. Okay. I'm not as structured in my approach. I think I should be more structured at times, but I have many interests and there's many pots on the stove that I'm stirring. So I kind of enjoy jumping from pot to pot, if you will. But that being said, I always make sure to pump the brakes once in a while. So when everything's too crazy, you know, as a young man, I used to do everything. I didn't say no to anything, right? I can do it all. And I had the energy. Now I'm more selective. And now through many discussions with Trish on the walks that we take, I've asked her many times and we've discussed self-care practice. That's something that's new to me. So now to integrate or incorporate something like reading, but really just what I said, taking time for myself is self-care. It's not selfish. Yeah, some people are disappointed because I didn't do activity X with them or spend time on the phone. I didn't answer their phone call. You know, no. My phone is shut off at 10 p.m. and some people don't like that. But everybody knows, you want to talk to me? Get me before 10 o'clock. Because at 10, I'm going to go read for an hour and then I'm going to go to bed. That's my time. It's not negotiable.
I'm listening and I'm smiling because I love how simple you just said no. Mm-hmm. Too often, I think women especially, I think men are better at just saying no very simply. Hey man, you want to go watch the game tonight? Nah. right? I think women have a tendency to give an explanation, an excuse, a justification. We build a story around the no. And I'm smiling a little bit because the aha that I'm having, and I have goosebumps on my arm right now, is that, man, if life could just be simple, we could just say no, like not rudely, but just no, I'm not interested.
I don't say right? no to people like no. I right. just I do make yeah. my story and I just say, well, you know, oh, that sounds great. I'd like to do that, but I've got another commitment. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm busy.
Yeah, or no thanks. And I what I realize right. is I'm in a big change right now and I've had to say no to people. And what's interesting is in my own journey, I've realized that things are actually received a lot better mm-hmm. from people when my no is just no thanks. Someone asked me to go hang out at a fire last night. And I said, no thanks. I didn't go into I'm tired or I don't really want. I didn't provide a lot of extraneous information. And what the aha that I'm having is sometimes when we provide a lot of extraneous information, mm-hmm. is to make us feel better. But then if you dig underneath that, what am I feeling bad about, right? There's this story that I'm trying to manage and navigate that is taking a lot of my energy and my capacity. And I'm realizing that quite simply, I can just say, hey, no thanks.
I mean, not that today. Is living.
Not right now.
You're living Marcus Aurelius' first principles. I mean, that's stoicism. And I'd encourage all your readers, if you want to look at something interesting and you want to simplify your life, start to do some research into stoicism.
Yeah.
And, you know, first principles.
Yeah. I will say too, that adding to add to what you guys are talking about is that those are boundaries that we're setting and it's okay to have those boundaries. It's very, it's healthy to have that. And in fact, it's not healthy to not have them, but we're so used to having, like you said, Diane, to say yes to everything and have to give it a reason why. And then, like you said, that convolutes everything rather than just saying no, thank you, because then I can, you know, I can understand that because we're saying, I can't do that because I'm tired. Well, the other person that's doing it is probably tired too, but they're doing it anyway. So they're probably like, well, I'm tired and I'm doing it, you know? So there's all this like, you know, unspoken kind of energy around when you give that explanation versus just saying no, thank you. And kind of being just confident in having that boundary. And I think that too comes from and the self-care and all of that, that's all intertwined to this practice of giving yourself these moments in your day to kind of drop into the heart and to reconnect. Because I also wanted to share, like, I mean, another reason why we're doing this now, why I think it's so important, is because we are shifting into a new kind of paradigm where you see all of these things happening around the world. And we're in this state of like constant heaviness. There's a lot of grief, whether it's our personal grief or it's grief from pick a thing that's happening globally. And we're carrying that energetically, even if it's not our own personal grief. So there's something to be said for acknowledging that and then, you know, having this practice and a foundation around our self-care and our wholeness of being so that we can, you know, move and navigate more comfortably through all of it and to not carry all of that either.
100%, absolutely. You know, you said boundaries and I'm smiling too because again, a poem, I took a picture of it, but a poem in that that old journal that I have just found, apparently I wrote this in the dark. Because the muses were talking to me, it's literally all over the page. A poem written in the dark with eyes closed and no rules cannot be owned by lines, edges, pages, or rules. It can only flow freely as the pen desires to write what it does and wherever it roams. Right?
Beautiful.
So think about that. If you grab a piece of paper and you close your eyes and you write on it, there's no boundaries. There's mm-hmm. no lines, there's no edges. Maybe the pen stays on the page, maybe it doesn't. But the shirt I'm wearing today has my favorite question on it, what if? So what if we said no mm-hmm. without having rules or explanations or justifications? What if we took time for ourselves? What if we just said, hey, today in this 5 minutes, there's going to be no boundaries whatsoever. Or today in this 5 minutes, conversely, there's going to be actually boundaries to protect my time.
And right? You know, the interesting thing about that, Diane?
What's that?
We used to be experts, absolute experts, professionals at having no boundaries, no judgment, no self-limiting talk or behavior. From the time we were babies until we were maybe 5, 6, 7, we were experts at it. Okay. And then that gets taken away from us. And it's interesting what you said, Trish and Diane, about us cultivating our boundaries. Where do we learn that? Where are we taught? We're never taught to set our own boundaries. We're always taught to follow boundaries that are imposed on us by societal structures. Okay. So maybe that's why we have trouble sometimes saying no or setting a boundary. And typically in the Western society, the minute you say no to something, you're accused of being selfish, or you start to get that label of, well, what do you mean you won't answer your phone after 10? That's selfish. How selfish of you?
That's because our conditioning is to put everyone else ahead of ourselves, because that's what we think is or we've been conditioned to believe is the right thing to do. And that it's selfish to have that relationship with ourselves, because, you know, that's the narrative that we've been taught. Because if it's the reverse, if we are having that solid foundation within ourselves, we're empowered. And so I feel like that way we're conditioned in society to put everybody else first is a disempowering narrative that we're taught. And so, you know, this practice of however, you know, we can find a way to come back to ourselves, Love Me Meditations being a tool for that, and among others, and however we can do that to operate from that place. I think I was leading to that and kind of lost my train of thought, but we're moving into, you know, a new kind of earth paradigm where we're operating from the heart in that. We're not operating from our mind and ego. And so we need that connection to ourselves, and to have that foundation and connection where we're kind of putting ourselves first, not necessarily, you know, reframing the word selfish. And, you know, because when we don't do that, when we don't have boundaries with our relationships, what comes into play is expectations of the other people without communicating those boundaries, and resentment builds and all of these things. That's why, like, relationships fail, families fall apart, marriages fall apart, whatever the situation is because we're so easily inclined to make everybody else happy. And then we're like, well, wait a minute, what about me? Who am I? Where am I in all of this?
Well, I've got what the about perfect meditation for that.
I was going to say, that sounds like a perfect key up and a tee up for Robert to lead in with another meditation.
That's the one too. And it also answers your question, what if, and we'll tie it back to the concept of selfishness. So what if we banish the word selfish or that judgment, we refuse to accept it? What if instead we meditated on this true self? It is courageous, brave, even revolutionary to show up as your true self. When the world is constantly trying to make you someone else, once we can see behind all the external noise, once we dare to journey within, we will know the truth of ourselves. So there we are.
I wish our listeners could see all the hairs on my forearm have literally just stood up again. I'm inspired. I feel joy in my heart at hearing those words. I mean, what if we dare?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should dare ourselves to.
We know the answer if we don't dare, and if we don't step into our courage, and if we are not revolutionary. I mean, the three of us right now, what we're doing is revolutionary. If we do not do that, we're shortchanging ourselves. The business author, Seth Godin, has a great phrase he uses called ship your art. And your art is everything. Okay. And he says it in a very nice way. He says the world needs your gifts. So maybe in our Western culture, we're so accustomed to accumulating and just stacking and piling up. He who dies with the most toys wins. Maybe it's time to put that, it is time to put that aside. And why don't we think about sharing our gifts instead of trying to accumulate some material trophies that we can parade around and stunt and show off.
Yeah.
100%. And here's the challenge, right? If we don't listen to our inner voice and we don't cultivate that sense of individual authenticity, that rawness that we had when we were children before it got taken away or tainted, if we don't do that, the world is missing out on the best part of our gifts.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, when I left my state park job, I thought that was my dream job. And for a long time in my life, it really was. But I'm coming on 7 years out from leaving, making a courageous decision to change something in my life that wasn't working for me and that wasn't in alignment with my values and my principles. And although the act of leaving, the events that led to me leaving were very painful, the lessons I have learned from making the choice for myself to step into my gifts and my talents, I just have to be thankful that there have been people in my life, you know, Cornelia was one of them, who recognized that I have a voice and I have a message and I have a unique way of delivering a message that people in the world like to hear and want to hear. And through my journey, I have learned to listen more to myself than to other people, and I could not be any happier. Right?
There's so
we're denying the world. We're denying the world the essence of our energy and our soul if we don't take time to create a daily practice, listen to that voice, and really create a better connection to our internal self and to humanity.
Yeah. And like you always say, Diane, like one step informs the next step. So the action informs us. Action, you know, it tells us. So like the action or the, you know, the being, the giving ourselves those moments, eventually, gradually, all those things that what are gifts that are tucked inside, because we've said, oh, like I used to paint or I used to write, or but I haven't done that in years. I'm not, why would I do, you know, but all that stuff is going to bubble up. And that those are our gifts that we came here to share. And we each have it, you know, in a unique way. We're all unique. But that's why we're all meant to share them, because everything offers something a little bit different, even if it's the same message. It's done in a different, you know, it's always in a unique way. So I think it's so important to remember that when we see, you know, like we're talking about this book or whatever, we see people sharing their gifts, that's just, you know, evidence or proof that it's there for us to do that too. And it's an invitation to, you know, step into that connecting with yourself again in that way.
100%. I love having you guys on, and our conversation time is never long enough. So, Trish, I know you do individual and group work with people energetically. I'd love to have you tell our listeners how they could work with you, mm-hmm. or get copies of your book. And then, Robert, I know you're actually not coaching, but how people can connect with you or be inspired by the art that you have put into the world.
Yeah, so you can contact me. I'm on Instagram regularly at Trish Campbell. My website is thisistrishcampbell.com. And this book was released last November 11th. So it's coming up on its year anniversary. Love Me, Awakening to Healing, Self-Love, and Liberation. And it's available on Amazon worldwide, indigo.ca, some select Indigo stores here in the Toronto area, and barnesandnoble.com. And this book will be forthcoming, the meditations book, Love Me Meditation, which is an extension of that, in February 2023. So chose that time specifically to focus on the inner relationship, the self relationship with self. And then I do want to give this a plug real quick, Love Me Poetry, which is coming out next month. This is the poetry from the original Love Me, plus some new work. And I'm so excited about this. So all available on my website.
And you're going to be back on November 11th to plug that book. Robert, take us home. Final words and how people can get a hold of the beautiful work you've put out there.
My books are available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and Indigo as well. There's a few more in the pipeline that'll be released probably in the next year. In terms of websites and contact and consulting, that's going to have to wait another year till I hang up my appraisal spurs and shift into something that I feel is a little more creative space. So I'm almost at the summit. Just please be patient and give me another year. But in the meantime, connect with your true self, be courageous, be creative. It's all out there for you. Life is a fantastic buffet. You've just got to take a seat at the table and enjoy.
Because you deserve a seat at the table. Absolutely.
Absolutely. 100%.
My friends, I'm sorry that I have to say goodbye to you right now. I love our time together. Will you come back? Can we have another conversation?
Yes. We'd love to
whenever
come back.
You
I
like.
Love this. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Well, as always, thank you for tuning in. This is Transformation Talk Radio. I'm your host, Diane McClay, and we hope that we have inspired you to empower your life through choice and through courage. Bye, everybody. Take care of everybody and have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. Listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit DianeMcClay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.